The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to 2018 and welcome to Golf Talk America, our first show of the new year. And we're so happy to have you with us. We've got a great show coming up as we'll be joined shortly by Bob Bupka, our good friend who seems to always be in places that we wish we were. And that certainly is the case today as he comes to us from the Century Tournament of Champions in Kapalua, Hawaii. So Bob will be joining us here in just a little bit to give us an update on what happened in the first round as we're coming to you on Friday. So it's getting ready for the second round out there. Very early our time that Bob's joining us. So the guys are still a few hours away from teeing off on the second round. We'll talk to Bob here shortly. Frank Bassett, as always, joins us from the Nashville studios where there is a rash of flu hitting Music City. And Frank, you ran as fast as you could, but you could not run the flu bug, could you?
Couldn't do it. It's can tell in my voice. It's been a brutal struggle for a week. And it is bad here. It really is. I mean, country music is going to lose money this month.
Recording studios.
Everybody's sick. Everybody's sick, yeah. Anyway, but since we have the pro and the consummate pro, then all I get to do is just sit back and listen to you guys talk today.
So we hear a little bit of that going on. We know why, because Frank has been sick for a week. So I hope you feel better. And so we'll carry on here, and occasionally you can chime in when your wind capacity seems like you can handle it. Join us now, as I mentioned earlier, Bob Bupka, host of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, joining us from Kapalua, Hawaii, the Century Tournament of Champions after round one. Bob, how you doing? I can only imagine you're doing pretty well this morning.
Well, if you're not doing well when you're here, then you might as well hang them up. It's really amazing, guys, as many years as I've been coming to this event. Each and every year when I stand behind that first tee, I look down that luscious fairway to the green, then I see some tall pines, and then I see the magnificent Pacific Ocean, and it's the time of year where the whales have arrived, and they're jumping, and the one thought that comes to mind constantly, this has to be a Hollywood set. This can't be real, and no matter how many times I see it, that's what overwhelms me. It's really spectacular. And I'm proud to say the PGA Tour have really gotten themselves a great sponsor. I'm not talking about a good sponsor. I'm talking about a great sponsor in the form of Century Insurance. They've been around a long time. They're based out of Wisconsin. They came in to be back in 1904. They have their own golf course. Robert Trent Jones Jr. Was the designer of it. They are excited about being the title sponsor for this event, and every detail is being attended to, and they've signed a 5-year deal. That's great for this event, the Tournament of Champions. It's great for the Hawaiian charities that benefit from this event. And if you don't think golf's landscape, guys, is changing, first time ever at the Tournament of Champions, the average age is under 30 years old.
Wow. Wow, that is it seems appropriate for all the good young golfers that are on the golf course. You're talking about Century. I think I saw yesterday, Bob, during the broadcast, that they're from either West Allis or Stevens Point, Wisconsin, I believe, and somewhere around Milwaukee. But the difference in temperature from their home office was like 78 degrees. They were like at 2 degrees or something, and it was 77 or 75 in Kapalua. So of all the tournaments they're going to sponsor, they picked the right one. I think for all the business people at Century saying, yeah, I think we'll all go there on a business trip to make sure the tournament is running smoothly. So you're right. They have been a great sponsor and probably a very needed relief from the Midwest. And what about those blizzards, by the way, Bob? We'll talk a little weather here in a second before how nice it is where you're at. Where you're from, a Long Island area, boy, just got besieged the last day or two, haven't they? By the snow.
Yeah, I just got off the phone with my brother. It's absolutely brutal. He lives only a few miles from Shinnecock, and the wind chill tomorrow is expected to be minus 15 degrees. So
wow.
That is unsafe type of cold, and everybody has to be careful if they're out there. You don't want to be outside and have any skin exposed for any length of time. It can be a disaster. But here, pretty much every day you wake up, you know it's going to be in the 70s. We're going to have 4 days of trade winds, which is great because that's the way Bill Kaur and Ben Crenshaw, the architects for this course, built the course with the trade winds in mind. So no matter how hard they blow, the golf course will be playable, and it's in fantastic shape. And the guys are really excited. And I must point out that the enthusiasm by this crop of players is incredible. They're all happy to be here. They're excited to be here. They're coming here anticipating to win right away. For too many years, I got the impression half the field would come over here and almost treat it like a vacation, and whatever happened on the golf course happened. But not these guys. They're dead serious. They want to get off with a victory in the 2018 calendar, and what a place to do it. And, of course, if you do accomplish that, you get an invite to come back next year and play in the winners-only Century Tournament of Champions.
Which is where Bob Bupka joins us. He, of course, host of the Groove Room and TuneIn Radio, brought to us, by the way, courtesy of Vertical Groove Driver. We'll tell you a little bit more about Vertical Groove Driver and how you can custom order your very own in just a little bit. So the leaderboard, Bob, looks like this. Mark Leishman, after round one, 600 par. This is the one and only par 73 course that they play all year long. It's a par 73 at Kapalua. And so he is at 600. Brian Harman, one shot back, along with Johnny Vegas. Siwoo Kim at 4-under, Ricky Fowler 4-under, Dustin Johnson 4-under. So, as you said, it's the best of the best, the guys that won last year. But if you go to the other end of the leaderboard, you've got Justin Thomas playing pretty well. He's at 2-under par, but the defending champion, I think, expected to get off to a little better start. He loves playing there, and he says that that's one of his favorite golf courses, as you can imagine, defending champion. Jordan Spieth, way back of the pack, as he is 2-over par. Again, so it's par 73. Jordan opens with a 75, and I saw a stat earlier on the broadcast yesterday, Bob. Between Jordan and Justin, they were something like a combined 350 holes that they played at that course. They were 120 under or something. So both of those guys have played very, very well and have won on that course. What do you think the problem was with Jordan Spieth? Was it mostly the putting?
Well, certainly you bring up a great problem that Jordan had yesterday. The putter wouldn't cooperate. But, you know, it's such a small sampling of Jordan, 18 holes. I'm not going to get with the way he played. Obviously, he came in here. Now he's engaged. His fiancée, Annie, they've been together for a long, long time. He's in a wonderful place in his life. And, you know, it's probably going to take some getting used to leaving the single ranks and having somebody else to worry about. But I think Jordan will be just fine. He'll probably come back with a great round today. But we have been talking here, and I'd love the Golf Talk listeners to maybe strike up a conversation with some of their fellow golfers on the question, is it going to be easier for Jordan Spieth to win his next three majors or harder to win his next three majors than it was to win the first three? And boy, the more people you talk to, the varying responses that you get is just incredible.
Yeah, I think the fact that he won at such a young age and still right there every time you mention Jordan Spieth and any accomplishment, he's in a small group of usually two other guys, and that's Nicklaus and Woods. And so that's a pretty heady company for him to be at his age doing the things that he's doing and now just one victory away from the career Grand Slam. And if he gets that, even the next couple of years, he'll be one of the all-time youngest to ever get a career Grand Slam. So, yeah, I agree. It's a little early to worry about it much, and he could come back today and fire a 64, 65 on that golf course and get right back in the hunt. So we'll see how it all plays out. Mark Leishman, we were talking about earlier, too, before we started the broadcast. Boy, I tell you, here's a guy that didn't come out of nowhere. He's certainly been a very good golfer for a number of years, but really came into his own in the last 12 months or so, and doesn't look like he's in any way looking to diminish his status. He's right now the highest-ranked Australian And that includes, of course, Adam Scott, who's, I believe, 31, 32, and he's just moved ahead of Jason Day, who's at 13, and Leishman's at 12. So Mark Leishman is not a surprise that he's at the top of the leaderboard, is it, Bob?
No, good observation, Tim. He's been a tremendous talent. He's an awfully nice guy. And the difference, you know, talking to him yesterday, he purely said, listen, my confidence level goes up every time I play well. I get means that it's easier to play well the next time I go out. So he's got the right attitude. He's a fierce competitor. He's got a rather simple action coming into the ball. There's not a lot of mistakes that can happen with that swing, but he's certainly somebody to add to the mix. And the other topic of discussion that we had, guys, was the fact that trying to win a major right now, you know, I could be honest and say 10 years ago, 12 years ago, showing up at any major, you would say maybe there was 10 guys that had a realistic chance of coming away with that major title. I think that number with the talent that we have now on the PGA Tour is probably 20, 25 guys. And I think it's the pressure to win a major is going to intensify because everybody knows how many guys could win one, so it gets harder to win one. And the other thing that we discovered, maybe you can help me out, Tim or Frank, you know, we forget that Dustin Johnson, going into the Masters, had won his three previous starts. And as best I can tell, and I've tried doing some research, I've never found a player that won the last three times prior to playing in a major. Obviously, people remember that he had a fall in his rental house at Augusta, wasn't able to... but the fact of winning three times in a row coming into a major, and I don't think it's ever been done. I checked Tiger, who I thought maybe would have done it, 2000, he won nine times, but never three wins prior to teeing it up in a major. I mean, that shows you how good he was, and he didn't even win a major last year. So it's awfully crowded when you come to the big events this year.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Bob, and again, we're joined by Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, and he is at the Century Tournament of Champions in Kapalua, Hawaii. And again, watching the first round yesterday of that tournament, the fairways are very generous. It's been in particular 18, I believe, is 80, 90 yards wide, but very generous fairways. And yet I saw a number of times when certainly Spieth hit it in one guy's backyard. They weren't even sure if it was in bounds, but it ended up being in bounds behind a hedge. And Justin Thomas, also a big bomber, hit one driver. He let go of his driver after he hit it. It was so bad, and it actually ended up okay because it was in another fairway. But it was easily, 60, 70 yards offline. Do you think sometimes, Bob, these guys get downwind with a little downhill, and they know they can carry that ball and hit it almost close to 400 yards with some of the roll on these? Do they overswing a little bit? Do you think they get just like you and I, and sometimes try to do a little bit too much with the driver?
You know, Tim, I think you're spot on there. What happens here, when you stand on the tee, you look, you say to yourself, there's no way I can miss this fairway, 80, 90 yards wide, and you have the opportunity to really bust one, and maybe you swing a little too hard. I think Jordan did that. He was a little bit frustrated on the 18th hole and then, snap hooked it left into that, native grass there. They were unable to find the ball. But, just along the lines of what you said, Tim, when it's that big wide fairway, it kind of tempts you, to maybe trying to do things that you would not normally do. And as a result, you can get into some trouble here. You would think that nobody would ever miss the fairway if fairways are 80, 90 yards wide. But here, and especially when that wind is blowing, the trade winds were blowing yesterday 15, 20 miles per hour, and you're standing on an elevated tee, it's pretty difficult to keep your balance, especially if you overswing just a little bit.
We saw also yesterday an announcement coming from Tiger Woods. We were all wondering after the Hero World Challenge, his first time playing in almost a year, what his next event would be and how he was feeling and whatnot. And it comes out that he's going to committed to two tournaments, the Farmers Insurance at Torrey Pines and the Genesis Open at Riviera coming up in just a few weeks. So your thoughts on that? People had talked certainly that he loves Farmers Insurance. He loves Torrey Pines and has won there 8 times and goes all the way back to his amateur days. However, it's a very challenging course and it's a lot different when you're coming off of another back surgery at his age versus when he was 30 years old and could dominate a course like that. And then he goes to play at Riviera. Your thoughts on that, and Frank, if you feel up to it, I'd like to hear what you think about it too, but what do you think there, Bob, about those golf courses for Tiger?
Well, you know, I'm certainly excited about the fact that he has let us know that these are the two places he's going to be playing. You know, Riviera is a very special place to him. It's the event where the very first event he ever teed it up in a professional event. He was only 16 years old, but back then we could almost be certain that this was going to be somebody special. I don't think anybody thought that he would be as great as he turned out to be. But having him back in the mix is just another aspect to 2018 that has everybody excited. And, you know, when we think about 2018 and we think about golf, I'm sure headquarters down at Ponte Vedra, Florida, they got to be really thrilled to death with the prospects. When you look at what's on tap, you know, the Masters obviously speaks for itself, and then going to Shinnecock for the United States Open, an absolute gem of a golf course, Carnoustie for the Open Championship, and then Belle Reve in St. Louis. And then if that's not enough for golf fans, a couple months after that, we'll be going over to Paris to play the Ryder Cup. So when you look at all of that, you get excited, and then you sprinkle in a little Tiger Woods, and maybe sprinkle in a little Tiger Woods competitive. It has the prospects of being an unbelievable golf year.
Yep. Frank, how you feeling? You up to commenting on what you think about those courses?
Yeah, there's so much talk out there. Pardon me, guys. My voice is going in and out. Yeah. There's so much talk about, and even Alex Maselli wrote today, he thinks that it's wrong that he comes back at Torrey Pines. It's too difficult.
Yeah.
The rough's too tough. It's too long of a golf course. But he's won there how many times? So, you know, Tiger's Tiger. He knows what he can and can't do, and he can. I can't disagree with what he's doing. I mean, who am I to disagree with Tiger Woods?
So, you know, we've had both Steve Johnson and Art Selinger on our show, Frank, and both of them said the same thing as Maselli. Both of them said, they don't think he should go to Torrey Pines. It's just it's such a challenging course, and especially if he is not on with his driver, that rough, and you know, human nature and Tiger's nature is you're going to muscle it out of that rough, and that can just wreak havoc on his back again. So they're questioning whether or not that's the strategy, but sure enough, he's going to do what he wants to do, as he always has. So who knows his body and his game better than Tiger? So I guess it's hard to argue until after the tournament. We'll see if that strategy was correct or not.
Well, he did withdraw as an amateur one time there when he hurt his wrist trying to muscle it out of that rough. So I don't know.
I will say this much. If once Tiger made the decision in his camp that he was going to go to Torrey Pines, there might have been a little doubt in his mind, is this the right place for me to go? Should I go there? Should I not? And then when he was made aware of the fact that Alex Maselli thinks it's not a place for him to go, Tiger said, I know I made the right decision.
Look
for Tiger to play very well at Torrey Pines.
I'm waiting for Phil Mickelson to chime in on that, too. That'll just make it a full circle. So, and that's an inside joke, guys.
I'll do the opposite. Yeah, well, you know, but that's part of the debate, part of the intrigue and the interest, let's be honest, in Tiger's comeback in golf in general, and Tiger still is the guy that everybody cares about, and all the cameras will be there. So we all hope that he whether he plays well or just as long as he's healthy, I think then it's a successful tournament for him at this stage, as long as his health maintains. Because let's be honest, at his age, he should have 10 years that he could play if his health is good of competitive golf. I mean, certainly at his talent level, you could go into his early 50s, and we've already seen it with Davis Love and other guys in that age group that are competing with the young guys. So certainly Tiger could. And I also think, Bob, that you get these once in a generation kind of players, whether it's an Ali, a Jordan, a Tiger Woods, a Bird, whoever. They do things that other guys don't do. That's what makes them the Hall of Famers and the legends that they are, because they take doubters and they say, okay, let me prove you wrong. If those other guys have been able to do it and make comebacks, why not Tiger? Because he certainly has proven that he's beyond the expectations of what everybody thought he could be. I think Tiger, if anybody can do what he's projecting to do and be competitive for the next several years, it would be Tiger, right?
Well, you're right on, Tim, but a couple of things that, you know, obviously are working against Tiger. Number one, as you pointed out, his age, he's over 40 now, so it's not that easy. And then the other major change to the landscape, there are, and we touched upon this at the top of your show, there are so many guys that are capable of winning a major right now that have so much talent and they have so much confidence. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. I mean, you got to take somebody even like John Rahm, who came from nowhere last year, and now he's in the top five in the world. And by the way, this event for the first time ever has all the top five players in the world are all competing here. Another indication of the magnitude of this event and how competitive it's going to be over the next three days. So as I alluded to, the PGA Tour has got to be thrilled to death with the caliber of this field. And the highest percentage, I don't have the number, but the highest percentage of people that are competing here are going over to Sony next week. It's the biggest percentage ever. Hawaiian Golf is getting a double barrel effect, because not only here, but next week with the Sony Open at Wailea is going to be a fantastic event also.
Hey, Bob, back to this tournament, the Century Tournament of Champions, where Bob joins us from Kapalua, Hawaii. We're talking about some young guys. You mentioned John Rahm, and it makes me think that every year there's another John Rahm or a few more John Rahms, and it might be Patrick Cantlay, who was a phenomenal amateur, had some health issues of his own, but now back in this tournament, so he's a winner and back to being a guy that people are going to keep their eyes on. But also other guys that are younger, Xander Schauffele, that we didn't know an awful lot about earlier. It's just kind of the nature of the beast, isn't it, Bob, that in golf, whether you're Jordan Spieth or whatever, before we know it, Jordan Spieth will be closing in on 30, and there's going to be other guys that are 22, 23. They keep reloading.
Oh, they really do. And another name that's certainly worth mentioning, he plays with a lot of confidence, a lot of flair, and that's Daniel Berger. A lot of people say he has everything that it takes to get to the top of this game. He has fun playing. He does it with a smile, but he's a very fierce competitor. And don't forget, you know, when we look at this field here, we say, wow, it's so competitive and it's got so much talent. But we don't have Sergio Garcia, who won the Masters last year. We don't have Rory McIlroy, who didn't qualify to play in this event. You know, and then we don't have Adam Scott or a Jason Day. I mean, the talent of the guys that are not here almost can rival the talent of the guys that are here, and that's pretty amazing in itself.
Hey, tell us again, Bob Bupka is brought to us by Vertical Groove Driver, and tell people it was Christmas time, and hopefully we had you on before Christmas. People heeded your advice and ordered their Vertical Groove Driver for that special someone or themselves for Christmas. But if you miss the opportunity, what would people have to do to get that phenomenal driver?
Well, thanks, Tim. It's very simple. All you have to do is go to vertgolf.com. And then you build your driver to your specifications. They'll ship it to you in some nice packaging. You'll get this club. Two things will happen to your golf game. You're going to be able to hit your driver a lot straighter, and you also are going to be able to hit it a lot further. So, and it's now available almost on a worldwide basis. You know, it's in South Korea, it's down in Australia, it's in New Zealand. It's really catching on. Anybody that tries it, they find it so easy to hit and control. And I know even you and Frank, guys, you enjoy hitting it straighter and hitting it further and taking your friend's money.
I love that.
So three things you can count on: straighter, longer, and you're going to make money with this driver. So it's not even, it's an investment in your future. It's almost like in a stock market. So vertical groove driver, it is a phenomenal driver, and it's a beautiful, beautiful. It's almost too pretty, to be honest with you. It's such a well-made golf club. You're going to be so proud when you break that out with your buddies next time you play golf. Vertical groove and vertical groove driver is the company. Hey, Bob, we mentioned Spieth earlier and the fact that he struggled in his first round. Earlier, and I'm sure you were probably at the news conference earlier this week when he was being asked a million different questions like everybody does before the tournament starts, he got into a quote from Teddy Roosevelt and how this has kind of encapsulated his thinking now. And he's now more in tune with not worrying about the outside influences. And the Teddy Roosevelt speech that he gave, the quote came from, talked about being in the arena. And if you're in the arena, then you're better off and don't worry about the people that are outside the arena that want to complain. You're going to be in the game just like he is. And so you're going to have some frustration, some losses, but you're playing the game. You're in there fighting every time, like every great athlete. You certainly don't win them all. And so he said that's his mindset now, and he feels much more at ease with the fact that things won't always go his way. Again, I don't know that he expected it to not go his way in round one at the Century Tournament of Champions, but it could be bad news for the rest of the golf world, because if he was anxious and stressed the last few years and you saw what he did in winning a dozen tournaments, I can only imagine how good he's going to be if he's has his Zen mentality going for the next few years.
You know, it's funny, Tim had an opportunity after his press conference to chat with Jordan Spieth. I've known Jordan a long time. I met him when he was 16 years old, playing in the Byron Nelson in your backyard there, Tim. And I said to him, I said, you know, everybody works on the physical aspects of playing golf, grinding it on the range, on the putting green, all of that stuff. Listening to you talk in the press conference, Jordan, I said, I detect that you're making a serious effort along the mental side of the game. And he said to me that that's what's going to take him and sustain him at the highest level. He has to work on the mental side. And that quote from Teddy Roosevelt, pretty amazing. I mean, Jordan fully acknowledges now that he is in the arena, that people are going to take shots at him, but he doesn't care. He knows how good he is. He's got three majors, looking for the Grand Slam at the PGA Championship this year. So I think if he continues to work on the physical part and gets even stronger mentally, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch.
You know, I'm curious too, Bob, that during the broadcast, and I don't remember which broadcaster said it on the Golf Channel when they were showing the first round at Kapalua, but one of them made the comment that, and they were mentioning that same stuff about Jordan and what he had talked about at the news conference, and that he already has the highest golf IQ on tour. Now you combine that with a new sense of where he's at and what's acceptable and how he can deal with all that stuff, about how difficult it will be to beat the guy. Do you agree that, and we don't have to say he's rank anybody, but do you agree that his golf IQ is what's always kind of set him apart, even when he was 16, when you first saw him and he was a great amateur golfer and playing in professional events and come out so strong so quickly on the PGA Tour, that it's not just the physical part, but mentally he's almost well beyond his years and plays almost like a guy who's been on tour for 15 years already?
Yeah, but Tim, you know, the thing that fascinates me, having been around this game for a while, watching Jordan over the last couple of years, every time that he had a 20-foot putt or a 25-foot putt or a critical putt, no matter what the length, and it went in, the commentary would be, you know, he just willed that. He just wills these putts to go in, and then all of a sudden he misses one, and nobody ever says, uh-oh, I guess his will didn't show up on that putt. I mean, and to quantify somebody's golf IQ, I don't know if there's ever been a test, so I I have no idea. And I'm certainly not ever going to get involved in anything that measures IQ, because you guys won't even have me on with you anymore if you do that. So, but I'm just saying, to say that somebody has a high golf IQ, I don't know if there is a golf IQ.
I don't. Yeah. There's. It's like the quarterback test, right? Is there a test? I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Well, no, there's not. His point was, and again, I'm trying to remember which guy said it, but the point was that he's smart about how to play the holes, how to play the, put it on this side of the green, do this, all the things. And we've seen other golfers certainly who have phenomenal talent. Kind of sometimes their head gets in their way a little bit because they don't think it out. And Spieth certainly very rarely beats himself. He doesn't always make the shots he wants to make. But God knows we've heard him and Michael Greller have litanies of discussions about every little shot and every putt, and he backs up and he asks Greller again, and the wind's blowing. So he obviously thinks an awful lot on the golf course, and I think maybe other guys are more intuitive. They just get up and hit it, and maybe that's their game. But Spieth, I like watching him because you feel like you learn a little something, because he, to his fault sometimes, he overthinks, but he definitely, between he and Greller, let's be honest, Michael Greller's become a well-known guy basically because he gets more airtime with his conversations with Spieth than some of the golfers on the course, let alone the caddies.
Yeah, well, Michael has certainly been a positive influence in the career of Jordan Spieth. They're not only great on the golf course, they're great off the golf course. Grella knows his place, and there are a lot of great caddies out here. I mean, quite frankly, Justin Thomas yesterday with Jimmy Johnson, the former pro from South Africa, caddying for Justin Thomas. If there was a caddy competition, I don't know who would come out on top between Grella and Jimmy Johnson as being the better caddy. I mean, they're both exceptional caddies, and that's what it takes. But in talking to Jimmy just yesterday, actually 2 days ago, the thing that impressed me the most about Justin Thomas, and this was a quote from Jimmy Johnson, his caddy, despite his incredible year last year, winning five times, winning the PGA Championship, he has not let anything go to his head. And that Jimmy said that there's no doubt that he was destined to be a great golfer. His grandfather was a club professional. His father, Mike, who is here in attendance, was a club professional. So Justin Thomas was born into this arena. And despite all of his success and star power, he is very down-to-earth, very accommodating. Quite frankly, he's a media delight.
Yeah, he certainly is. And as are almost all those guys that are on tour. And before we finished talking golf here, Bob, and I let you go because I know you've got a lot of work still ahead of you there in paradise. Give us a little idea as a tour guide in Honolulu in Hawaii and at Kapalua. What do you do when golf's not going on, or you get there a couple of days early, you stay a few days late? What's kind of on the agenda outside of golf when you're there?
Well, it's such a magnificent place. The scenery here is just incredible. Now, if I was Frank Bassett, I probably would have brought my surfboard and hanging 10 on some of the magnificent waves here, but that's a little bit behind me. But it is absolutely stunning. And there are a tremendous amount of great restaurants around here. And it's low key. There's not a lot of lights. It's hard to find a traffic light. And you meet nice people, and just wrapping this up, we met a couple yesterday at the coffee shop. There's a local gathering place every morning that you go to, and I hadn't seen these two before, and I said, "Did you just get here?" And they said, "Yes." Their luggage didn't come. They were from Minnesota by way of San Francisco. And then the gentleman shared a story with me that He was hit by an 18-wheeler a few years back and basically spent almost 2 years in the hospital not knowing whether he was going to survive or not. The insurance settlement was up into the millions. So what did he do? He called over here to Kapalur and spoke to a real estate agent, said, I want to buy a house. And the guy said, well, I got a real nice one, you know, over the ocean. He said, I'll take it. So he bought it sight unseen. And his game plan is that he's going to spend 2 weeks a year in the house that he bought. The other 50 weeks, anybody from his hometown, from the company he works that he owns, and anybody, any relatives or whatnot, if they want to come and spend a vacation here, they can use his home. He's only going to charge $1,000, but he's not even going to take the money. That's going to go to the person's favorite charity, and then they can have the use of this home for a week. And to me, that's part of what makes golf so great, part of what is a privilege covering this sport when you run into stories like that. So here's a gentleman that's certainly giving back, and a lot of people are going to be able to come to this house over the course of the next several years and be able to rent a mansion for the mere sum of a $1,000 donation to a charity. I just think it's an incredible story.
Wow.
Yeah, that is. That's
wow.
Awesome.
Good
too.
On him.
And especially coming from where he's coming from, with the weather being as cold as it is there, I can imagine how thrilling it is for a lot of those people to spend some time in Hawaii during the cold time there. That's really cool. That's very. Do you go out on the boat at all? Do you go whale watching or anything when you're over there?
Yeah, we have done that. One of the real highlights, if anybody's coming to Maui, I highly recommend this. There's a ferry. There's a little community not too far from here, about maybe 5 miles, where you can take a ferry over to Lanai. And, you know, it's an early morning ferry, and you get to see the whales out there, and you get to play Manili Bay, which is a Jack Nicklaus design, a fabulous golf course. You come back in, spend some time in the Manili Bay clubhouse, and then you take the Sunset Ferry back. It's just an incredible day of golf, and I would highly recommend anything like that if anybody's coming here.
Well, Bob Bupka, not only host of the Greer Room and TuneIn Radio, but ambassador for the Hawaiian Islands, because you've been there more than probably anybody I know, and probably know every inch of it. So have a great time there, Bob. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of time with us, and we'll be back with you, I'm sure, talking Tiger as we get closer to him teeing it up. And we're all excited that's only a couple of weeks away that he'll be playing. So continued success, and have a good time there in Hawaii, and safe travels back, okay?
All right, and thanks for having me on Golf Talk America. And Mr. Bassett, please take care of that medical situation. I don't like you suffering.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Perfect. All right. Take care, Bob. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, and again, coming to us from the Tournament of Champions in Kapalua, Hawaii. And, Frank, here we sit in Dallas and Nashville,
yeah.
And it's not quite the same.
I'll tell
you.
Love
our cities, but not quite Kapalua.
I wouldn't want to be there feeling like this, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
There is also a really neat thing you can do over there that Snedeker and Mandy and his family did, is a little submarine excursion.
I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
You see that little video they had? Yeah. I mean, it's not really a submarine. It's above water, so you don't have to feel like if people sometimes think that you're going way underwater. The boat kind of stays on top, but they have a part of it that you go down in, so you've got windows underneath the water, so that if you're a little bit claustrophobic, you can probably come back up and get some air. But yeah, it looked really cool. I've never done that before, but I think that would be awesome thing to do, and you could see the fish and the coral, and they had some I think like sunken ships and stuff that you could
some wreckage.
Go over. Yeah. Why would you want to live in Hawaii? Oh my God.
It'd be nice. Gasoline's pretty expensive over there.
Everything is, right?
Yeah, well, I mean,
everything's
imported, like, except the fish.
A gallon of milk's like $10.
No,
right?
It is not. It's
I'm
not
telling
expensive.
You. It's pretty close.
Well,
it's pretty close to
you
that.
You know, Bob will be there for a couple of weeks, so we'll have him back on to cover the Sony with us also.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. Our roving correspondent. And then he'll be with us at the PGA Merchandise Show right after that. So that'll be good.
And we've got some big events that we'll be at coming up later this year. So it should be a really exciting year here for Golf Talk America.
Yeah.
Possibly the best year ever for Golf Talk America. And this show goes back to the early 50s with Bob Hope. So, I mean, we've been around a long time.
Oh, don't make me laugh.
But this will probably be the finest year that we've ever had. So, yeah, we're looking
forward
to it.
It is going to be a good year. We have some exciting news that we'll be finalizing in the next week or so. And we'll be announcing it at the PGA Show. So, with a great organization that it's pretty cool.
Parlez-vous français, Frank, is all. That's the only hint I'm going to give you.
Je m'appelle François et toi, comment t'appelles tu?
There you go. See, so nobody will have any idea what we're talking about, but we'll leak little clues here and there.
Yeah.
Let everybody know.
You know, maybe some PGA stuff and some PGA Tour stuff and Ryder Cup and whatever.
We might be going to Bupka's backyard.
Yes, that's right, Shinnecock. We could stay at Bob's place, his family,
and his brother is right there.
Absolutely,
sure.
Yeah, we'll just crash the party.
I can't wait. All right, man. Well, hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself over the weekend. I'm sure it's not going to be the most fun weekend you've ever had, but you know how it is. You rest up, and it'll be better quicker. So
you got it.
All right. Thanks to Frank for being with us and hanging in there as long as he could. Thanks also to Bob Bupka with TuneIn Radio for joining us. And thanks to every one of you for listening once again. For Frank and Bob, I'm Tim Matthews. Please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.